Tuesday. See how I do that, Bill? I can talk to you and have an in-depth conversation about Star Wars.
I was amazed that you were able to do those simultaneously.
Didn't even miss a beat.
That was fantastic. You didn't miss a beat. Hi, guys. It's Bill and Wendy. This is the bonus hour, the stream of consciousness. Listen in. Sometimes you hear stuff like that. But still, keep listening.
Thanks a lot.
Please keep listening. Yesterday at this time, we just got word that Luke Perry had died. Very, very sad story. Luke Perry from Beverly Hills 90210. Did you see the story from Colin Hanks about Luke Perry? First of all, as you would expect, almost everybody who's ever worked with him or knew him paid tribute to him online and just in glowing terms. Everybody just said nothing but nice things about Luke Perry. So Colin Hanks told this great story about a time where they being he, Colin Hanks and his wife, were on a flight, and also on this flight were two little boys that just kept fighting. They were yelling at each other and
were
screaming and punching. I was gonna save that till the very end, but it turns out, Wendy, yes, that they were your boys. So the rest of the flight just gave up. Their own parents just went, there's nothing we can do. These kids are just gonna fight. And everybody on the plane just kind of gave in to that. What can we do? These kids are just going to be monsters for the whole flight. So then Colin Hanks says that this guy just wearing a coat and a hat, and he didn't know anything else other than it was a guy who just walked down the aisle, and he handed the boys a balloon. He blew up a balloon, and he handed it to them. And then they were well-behaved for the rest of the flight because they had a balloon.
One balloon? Because I would have thought that would have made the fighting worse. You give them each a balloon.
Hey, how come he gets a balloon and I don't get a balloon?
Exactly.
And then what happens?
And then the balloon pops, and then people think there's an explosion.
Well, as you know, Wendy, there's a code of ethics with boys and balloons, which is if a coated, headed stranger is to give us a balloon, we will respect the wishes of that person and everybody on the flight and we'll behave ourselves. He said it wasn't until the flight was over and he saw everybody leaving the plane that he and his wife realized that it was Luke Perry. And he went over and he thanked him and said, hey, I admire your work and what you just did saved an entire flight. And then, you know, Luke Perry was being Luke Perry. He was just cool about it. He put his hat back on, his coat back on, and he walked away into the sunset, the horizon.
Like an angel.
Like,
now
much
he
like
is
an
angel.
Much like an angel would do. And yeah, and now he ended up as an angel. You're right. You're right. He also told Colin Hanks that he always travels with a couple of balloons.
Yeah, that was my next question.
Just in case. Good planning. I would never think of that.
That's because you're selfish and you don't have little kids anymore.
Well, yeah. But even when my kids were at their littlest, I wouldn't have thought, like, we'd bring them stuff to do on the plane, but I wouldn't think, what if some other child is being a maniac? I should really bring something for that kid, too.
That's somebody else's problem.
Yeah, I guess.
I have to tell you, I haven't traveled a lot with my boys, but they were pretty good. There was one time we were going to Hawaii, and I think Michael was, like, maybe four, and we were on our way to Hawaii. It was a long flight. And Dylan was just a baby, so he was just like hanging on us like a tree frog.
Yes.
And Michael had a squirt gun and was running.
On the plane? Let him have a squirt gun on the plane?
And
aren't they careful when you're going through?
This was pre-9/11.
Oh, pre-9/11, you could bring anything you wanted.
It didn't look like a gun. It was like bright green or something, and he didn't have water in it. But we gave it to him just to look at, so he might have walked around with it a little. Yeah. But he wasn't loud, and he wasn't really bugging people.
He didn't threat. He didn't look like he might squirt somebody with it. He didn't make the squirty noise. He didn't do that to people?
Had you taught him how to do that, maybe.
I do have classes at the Discovery Center if he wants to come by on Saturday.
What other sound effects do you do?
That's it.
Blowing up a balloon?
You like that one more than the squirt gun?
No. What about Rock'em Sock'em Robots? That's pretty good.
Thank you. I'm very proud of that one. That's my closer. It's only the show's only 20 seconds. A lot of people ask for their money back, but the people who don't, they learn a lot. They definitely learn a lot. One time we were on a flight and it was diverted. They were having some problems flying into Chicago, so we landed in Detroit for a little while, And at the time, my daughters were very little, and Reese had trouble breathing. She was on this machine for, we had to carry a machine where if she couldn't breathe, we had to, you know, put an oxygen thing over. So they let us get off the plane. We landed in Detroit, and we were told upon landing that nobody would be allowed to get off the plane. And then my wife said she really needs to get off the plane because we have to plug this thing in. We have to hook this thing up so she can breathe. So they let us off the plane for 15 minutes, and people on the plane were furious. Yeah. And I, you know, my
you
wife
let
is
the guys with the sick kid
yeah.
go.
How come the baby who can't breathe can get off the plane, but I can't get off the plane to smoke a Salem? You're getting a lot of that. And I refuse.
You're not even kidding.
I'm not kidding. And I refuse to address those people, but my wife kept explaining to people as we're making our way down the aisle, well, she's, you know, she's a baby and she can't breathe. But that was making people angrier. Oh, lame excuse.
God,
like a kid needs
people.
To breathe.
Don't you get just so sick of some people?
I just assume now that no matter what happens, you're going to get an element of that. And it wasn't everybody on the plane, but there was a fair enough amount of people complaining that you just go, well, what can I? First of all, I don't owe them an explanation.
No, you certainly
don't. It's very important that my child breathes. You know, we come from a family. We've been breathing for generations, so I didn't want that to end. So, you know, as she was explaining, I was saying to her, let's just do this. Let's just get this off. Gotta get this done. And that's why I miss Luke Perry.
Well, you know, the whole, we know someone here at work who's had a stroke. I had a relative who had a stroke at a young age, in his 50s. Everybody's talking about, God, 52 years old.
Yeah.
Both the person at work and our cousin survived it.
Luckily, huh?
I know, but it's like you start, this is one more thing to worry about now being in our 50s.
Well,
and it can strike at any time.
It can strike at any time. And
no pun intended.
A lot of times there's no precursor to it. It just happens. Although yeah. Steve Cochran told the story earlier about where you might get these symptoms where you have slurred speech, you have a tingling sensation. He read all these.
Ischemic stroke? Is
yes,
that the one or something
I think that's
like
what
that?
It's called. I think that's what it's called. And what that is that's like a warning stroke telling yeah. you that a bigger stroke is coming and that you need to get to an emergency room. But I wouldn't know, like as soon as that started to happen to me, I wouldn't know, does that mean I need to get in a car and drive to an emergency room? Because what if I have the big stroke while I'm driving?
No, you wouldn't drive yourself, certainly.
Got to get somebody else to do it. I'm going to put Ryan Burrow on hold. I'm going to tell him to stay by his car in case I ever need an emergency.
Why, Ryan? Poor Ryan Burrow. That's a lot of
pressure. I trust him.
An ischemic stroke occurs when a vessel supplying blood to the brain is obstructed. It accounts for about 87% of all strokes.
Do they call it a warning? Because he categorized it as like a warning stroke. Like it's a smaller one, like a tremor, as if to say something bigger and worse is coming. Get yourself to an emergency room.
Well, it has not been reported if that in fact happened to Luke
with
Perry.
With Luke Perry, right.
Because also the silent cerebral infarction is a silent stroke. SCI is a brain injury likely caused by a blood clot that interrupts blood flow in the brain. It's a risk factor for future strokes. Okay, so this is the one. The SCI, silent cerebral infarction, also known as a silent stroke. It's a risk factor for future strokes and a sign of progressive brain damage. But you want to know the signs of a stroke? Because when we worked at WLS, they had a chart in the kitchen. I don't know how often you went in there, and it wasn't really that great of a kitchen. They had a refrigerator
in there twice.
And a vending machine and a microwave.
Yeah, there was nothing for me.
They said there was this new thing that if you feel like you're having a stroke, stick your tongue out. And if you can't stick it out straight, if it goes off to the side, that means you're probably having a stroke.
I'm testing myself right now. Am I okay?
I can't see your tongue. Yeah, but
I'm okay.
If you were having a stroke.
This is good if you're Gene Simmons, because then all during a show, people will know whether he is or is not having one.
I'm guaranteeing you, anytime you have any of these symptoms, you're going to be sticking your tongue out now.
I have, for the last 3 weeks, I told you about my friend who had the heart attack,
yes.
Right? The tennis player. So his feeling, his pain in his heart was right in the middle. And I would get that every once in a while, but since he told me that story 3 weeks ago, I've had it
every
nonstop.
Day.
And actually, I'm going in for tests. Thursday and Friday because of that.
Well, good. Because that it made something about it.
Right. Right.
It's so weird, though, Bill, because you think of something like one time I had a pain on my lower right-hand side, and I thought, oh, my God, I'm having appendicitis.
Yes.
But then you are like, oh, you know, maybe it's just gas. So you don't want to go to the emergency room.
Right.
And even though we have decent health insurance, it's still probably $500 out of pocket. I know it's a small price to pay if it is indeed an emergency, but you don't know. I mean, it's so hard to judge.
Right.
And with being a hypochondriac, I swear to God, I'd be there once a week.
No, I'd be like,
what is it now? So I understand why people put things off.
Right.
Your heart you shouldn't mess around with. And I almost feel like since you heard this, you're having anxiety, which could be causing that.
Well, because I went in last weekend to one of those, are they called immediate care places?
Oh,
it's not the emergency room. It's the one, it's between emergency room and
happy
scheduled
and
visit. Yeah, it's right at the corner of happy and healthy. You can't possibly miss it.
It's like a minute clinic. They're the emergency.
But I explained that. I go, my friend had this pain right here, and then they hook you up to electrodes and stuff. They did an EKG test.
At this immediate care place?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Everything. It's not the ones. Some of them are in drugstores. Some of them are like an Costco or Walgreens.
No, this is an immediate care. So like if you need stitches, it does everything pretty much that an emergency room can do except surgery.
Right. But they asked me all the stress.
You went on a Sunday?
On a Saturday. Right? Wasn't it Saturday?
You must
last
be
Saturday.
Really worried about
well,
this.
Well, they asked. They said there's a couple of factors. And they said, do you smoke? And I said, I do not. They said, is there a lot of stress in your life? I go,
They go,
do you work with Wendy? I go, I do work with Wendy.
Very funny.
And then all the doctors nodded at each other. They all went, all right,
funny.
Wait in line, sir.
I'm glad you can still laugh, even though you're dying.
That's all I have left. It's all I have. But they said, we're going to give you a stress test, right?
I've had that before. Are on the treadmill?
Yeah, they put you on a treadmill at this angle. Well, it's at this angle that, I mean, I run on a treadmill regularly, but I like to run either flat or with a slight incline. They put it at like 8 or 9, so you're running almost like straight uphill. But that's fine. Whatever they want to throw at me, as long as I don't get a shot. I just don't want a shot. I already told them that.
I'll do anything.
They go, we're gonna require some blood work. And then I started to take my stuff and leave. And they go, don't you want blood work? I go, no blood work.
All right. So you did this jogging uphill. And
no, that's coming on today. Thursday I'm doing that.
Oh, okay. So at this immediate care center, you just had an EKG?
An EKG. And then they did a lot of, you know that thing that doctors do where they take one hand and they put it on your body and then they knock on that part?
Yeah, I don't know what they do. Do you know why they?
I think he lost his car keys. You just want to see if I ate his car keys. There was a lot of that on my back and on my ribs.
I don't know what they do that for.
I remember when I was a little kid, I had a doctor who did that all. That's almost all he ever did with me was he would lay me down and he would knock on me.
I thought it was to see if you were hollow. I don't know what it's for.
It's a hollow test to make sure you have internal organs.
That up.
Yep, you got a spleen. What do you got here? A kidney? Where's your aorta? Yep, 3 for 3. You're free to leave. I don't know what the knocking does. I think it's just to see if there's anything abnormal.
How would that work?
I don't know. I could do it myself, I guess. I could call in my own
but
results.
But you don't know what you're looking for.
Right. I don't know why they do that. But I felt good. Like, while he was doing it, I felt very assured that things were good. Just simple knocking. And I said, feel free to use the doorbell. See how that's working.
Oh, they can check.
I hear you knocking, but you can't come in, I said. He goes, oh, the music. The music of your generation.
They want to. Why do doctors put their hand on your stomach and tap? It's all over the place, but the different sounds can indicate different things. They can't see the inside of your abdomen, but they can check like the resonance, like if there's a big hollow echo or something.
Yeah.
Maybe they can tell if there's inflammation.
He did yodel into my ear.
Was it Joel Daly?
It was Joel Daly. It was Joel Daly, and the Sundowners were in the next room. But I'm shy. I didn't want them all in the room. I've never asked the doctor why they do that. I just assume, well, he's a doctor, and all I did was watch House for 5 years, so he knows what he's doing. I don't know what I'm doing.
I know you're going to laugh, but and this could be wrong. It's on Reddit, I believe, pretty much everything I see on Reddit. It's called percussion.
Yeah. The percussion section.
It's like a drum, kind of.
Yep.
It's used because the difference in sounds can indicate different conditions. For example, if your lungs are full of fluid, it's going to sound a lot duller than if there's nothing there.
That makes sense.
When percussing the abdomen, a doctor...
No percussing. The sign said no percussing. So I had to watch my tongue.
A doctor may be assessing the entire abdomen, listening for tympani or dullness. Higher pitched and hollow would suggest air in the GI tract. Dullness could simply be solid matter like feces, an organ, or even a mass.
Oh.
They can measure the span of the liver. They can tell.
Wow. Just by vibrations.
Yeah, check. Well, they listen to the sound, too, kind of.
Yeah.
Checking for enlargement of the spleen or checking for fluid, but... I never knew that. I mean, I guess.
I didn't either.
It's like when a carpenter taps on a wall to find the support beams, the doctor can't see inside of your abdomen, but the resonance of your organs should reflect their size and position.
Oh. Well, now it makes sense.
Fascinating.
Didn't you always wonder why they were doing that?
Yeah.
What's with all the tapping? Jig Tapper, what are you up to? Now I know.
The same principle is at work in ultrasound, but that technique uses many more sound waves and a computer to interpret the data. But this is old school.
Yeah.
Dr. Hubner was my first doctor.
Dr. Hubner.
And
I would like my test results sent to Dr. Hubner.
He's no longer with us.
Oh, sad ending.
But he did that, you know, like if you had a cold, he'd do that on your back, your chest, and your abdomen.
Yes. Yeah.
So he was probably seeing if your heart was enlarged.
Probably.
Did he do it?
He did it all over my chest and my back.
Yeah, he's checking your lungs, seeing if there's fluid.
Yep.
It's called percussion.
Yeah.
That's
now
fascinating. Well, anyway, back to the stroke.
And he asked that I refer to him as John Bonham, and I said, I'm uncomfortable doing that. I don't know why I would do that. So he put a black mark by my name.
You have a lot of black marks by doctors.
You, sir, are difficult to work with.
Yeah.
I said, I don't care.
How many black marks are on your charts at various different doctors?
Between 60 and 70. That's a lot, right?
All right. Use the letters FAST, FAST, to spot stroke signs and know when to call 911. Shall we look into this?
I would like to know what those stand for.
F stands for face drooping.
No, I'm good there.
Right now, but does one side of the face droop or is it numb? Ask the person to smile. Is the person's smile uneven or lopsided? And I think that has something to do with the tongue, too.
Oh, I bet it does.
Why is David Plyer in the studio?
David, what brings you to town?
This is what was on my schedule today.
Oh, you were scheduled to come in here?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, then he's on the schedule.
We're talking about stroke signs and symptoms.
Hmm.
Did you want to come in during a real serious segment like this?
No, probably not. No, I should probably leave.
He's my next of kin, though.
Yeah. Slurring of words.
Next of Kim?
No, next of Kim. Well, Kim Gordon is in the room, and he is next to Kim. That's true. It does make sense.
I had a 44-year-old friend of mine that started slurring his words, and it was getting gradually worse in like a 72-hour period.
Oh, no.
And he had a series of minor strokes.
See, but if you really started slurring your words, I mean, honestly, you would know something was wrong.
My father-in-law,
no longer with us. I mean, you would go to the hospital.
You'd have to go to the hospital, right?
He heard it, and he heard it while he was saying it, and he thought, well, maybe I'm just tired. He just ignored like all the symptoms, and then the next morning he got up and it was slightly worse, and then people started saying to him, dude, you're either drinking or something's going on with your brain. Absolutely. Yeah.
When Terry's father was alive, there was a time where he was talking to my mother-in-law and he said a sentence that in his head made sense, but the words came out all jumbled. Ooh. And she said, what? And he said it again and it was jumbled, and he laughed and he goes, isn't that funny? I can't say. And he tried it again and it was jumbled. And they took him to the hospital, and they said he had a very, very, very mild stroke. And he never had one again after that, but they did a test, and they said...
It was like a couple years ago, a young woman on TV was a reporter.
Yes.
She had the stroke, and the same thing happened to her. She just was talking gobbledygook, and I knew that something was wrong.
Yeah. All right, well, you're moving ahead. That's the S in FAST.
I'm still on the F.
No, that's okay. So face drooping, if your smile is lopsided or something like that. A stands for arm weakness in one arm.
Usually the left arm, I've heard, but I don't know why.
I've heard that too. I've heard that too.
In one arm, is one arm weak or numb? Ask the person to raise both arms. Does one arm drift downward? I think you're thinking left arm heart attack. Usually, if you're having a heart attack, your left arm, because it's on tingly. That side of your body.
Oh.
So it, I think different folks have different strokes.
Different strokes for different folks.
Yes, I'm not being funny. I think that's accurate.
When I'm in a restaurant and they start to dim the lights, I'm wondering if I'm having a stroke.
Is that true?
That is true.
Speech, as you mentioned, is speech slurred? Is the person unable to speak or hard to understand? Ask the person to repeat a simple sentence. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Like your father-in-law.
Yep.
And then T, we're spelling out fast. Face drooping, arm weakness, speech, and T is time to call 911. If the person shows any of these symptoms, even if the symptoms go away, call 911 and get them to the hospital immediately. Mm. Additional symptoms of stroke, sudden numbness, sudden confusion, trouble seeing.
Yeah.
Sudden trouble walking or a sudden severe headache with no cause.
I thought confusion was actually one of the top ones. Like if you start just not understanding where you are, what you're talking about, you can feel it yourself. That's like a serious sign right there.
Ugh. And don't drive yourself to the hospital. Get somebody to drive you, right? Because if it reoccurs while you're driving, then you got another problem.
Absolutely. That, of course. Why would you drive yourself?
That's why David's here, just in case something happens.
I thought Ryan Burrow was your guy.
Dave's closer now. I'm right here. He's replaced Ryan Burrow. All right, we must take a break. Kim will get you the news, and then we'll find out what else is going on. It's Bill and Wendy at WGN.
Thank you, Kim.
Sure.
Do you know about the cheese challenge?
Does it have something to do with the Green Bay Packers?
No, it should. They should be behind this. I don't know why they're not.
A, it's stupid. And two, people are getting upset about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of telling babies to say cheese for the camera, people on Twitter and other social media places are now literally just throwing slices of cheese at their baby.
And does that make them smile? Because I think some kids would be startled and be like, what are
some
you
are crying.
I trusted you. You get a lot of that. You're my mom. I trusted you.
Some cry.
But don't they start out by saying, like, I saw a video of this where parents start out by saying to their child who assumes he or she is going to have their photograph taken, cheese. And then when the kid says cheese,
right. The
parent whips out a slice of cheese and hits the baby with it. It's the weirdest thing in the world. I can't believe this has become popular.
Sponsored by Kraft Singles.
No, there's a guy from Michigan who came up with it. Jasmine's going to work at tracking him down, but he's probably...
And doing what with him?
Throwing cheese on him.
Oh, Jasmine. Don't do that.
Viral hilarity or just plain cruel. People record themselves throwing slices of cheese at toddlers. This one kid just has a like Kraft Singles stuck to his face.
On his face, yep. There's a lot of that.
It's kind of funny.
But isn't it kind of a cousin to the Jimmy Kimmel
That's
thing
what I was
on Halloween?
Say, the Halloween.
No, this
you don't
is
think
totally
it is?
Different.
Well,
this is
I mean,
physically...
you're just getting a piece of cheese in your face, not like we ate your Halloween candy and you have no more candy.
But there's still a level of mental cruelty because somebody you love, your mom or your dad
is throwing something
is whipping cheese at you.
This is not no this
no?
First of all, these are little babies that really don't have oh my god they're just so
they don't
funny.
Have a way of defending themselves.
Yeah, but it's not hurting them,
so it's definitely a slice. You're not like sprinkling blue cheese on the top.
It looks like a Kraft single, like there it's just
right.
a piece
right.
of American cheese that's literally stuck to these kids'
to the
faces.
Face.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's stupid. It's the cheese challenge. It exploded in popularity in the last couple of days. New examples and commentary being posted to Twitter on an almost minute-by-minute basis. That happened over the weekend. Scanning through the tweets reveals that in addition to the videos and jokes one would expect from such a viral sensation, there's also a sizable backlash from people calling the challenge mean-spirited and unfunny.
I will agree with half of that. It is mean-spirited, but it's still funny enough
right.
to where... Because you could see this look in every baby's face like, I trusted you. You just see that
but
over and over and over again.
What are you doing?
All right, they don't know that it's cheese. These little babies that they're showing it, they don't even know it's cheese. They think it's a game of a peekaboo or something. What's the difference of doing that or a napkin? The taking the Halloween candy is a kid who's old enough to understand that
right.
your mom and dad have
that's
just
cruel.
Yeah.
So is that better or worse? You're saying that's worse?
Yeah, that's worse. This is just, you know, you got a piece of cheese on your face for a minute.
That's
it's stupid.
It is.
Right.
It's weird, but
Many of the videos follow a similar pattern with a cheese slice being thrown at the face of an unsuspecting toddler.
Don't you think for at least a small percentage of these kids, there will be part of their brain that always remembers that incident?
No.
You don't think so?
No, this is not hurting them. The toddlers often appear to be unfazed or confused
when
by what's
therapy,
happening.
When they're, right. You know, 20 years later, they'll be like, I, you know, there's
all
something
I remember
about,
was a small
face.
Square, a yellow square coming in my face and my mom laughing at me. That's all I remember.
It's funny. I'm sorry.
It is funny.
I don't
funny.
Laugh at this kind of thing. I feel usually I'm like an apologist for the babies,
yeah.
But it's hurting no one, man. It isn't.
So is the challenge part of this cheese challenge to get the cheese to stay on the baby's
yeah.
face?
Yeah.
Or so to try to
sticks.
Rebuild a trust and love between the baby and the parent?
So it's not like the ice bucket challenge. It doesn't go
no.
for a good cause or anything.
This,
it's
no.
just all
kind
in
of
fun.
Flicking the, yeah. you know, I got to be honest with you. If I had some Kraft singles at home, I would try it with the dog tonight or maybe one of my kids just
yeah.
to see if it sticks on their face.
But your kids are agile enough to where, like, if they saw cheese coming at it, they would duck out of the way.
No, because they trust
a baby,
me.
Oh.
My kids still trust me, which is stupid.
A baby still doesn't know what's what in terms of a flying object coming at them. Like, we know if a flying object is coming at you, get out of the way. But a baby...
Cheese won't hurt
right.
you. Unless you're lactose intolerant.
Right. That's, test your child before doing the cheese challenge. Make sure he or she can take the cheese.
I'm going to do it with the dog tonight. And start a viral video. I'm going to...
See, a dog wouldn't faze me. When I see babies getting out of the way... Then
they're not getting out of the way. They're just
they're
sitting
pelted.
There. It's just sticking on their face.
There
so
was one
funny.
Baby I saw that did that. You know that baby thing that where they just reach their hands out? I think it means,
yeah.
please hold me.
Yeah.
So the baby gets the cheese in the face, and then one hand just
no.
goes up as if to...
Please help
can
me.
Can we please be friends? Please, no more with the cheese. Please.
It's stupid, but I mean, people shouldn't be upset about it. It's not child abuse.
This
I'm sorry.
One more byproduct of the internet and whether or not it's good for our overall health, because there was a time where this sort of thing wouldn't have flown. You couldn't tell people about it.
Right.
You couldn't go, hey, here's something a lot of my friends are doing. They're whipping cheese at their babies. But because there's an online presence and you can watch thousands of these if you want, are we going forward or backward? I'm not sure.
I don't know. I'd rather see this on the internet than people typing in all caps
or
and being
bullying.
Mean to one
yeah,
another.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is just a piece of cheese.
That's all it is. That's
they're
all
they're not
it is.
Throwing it over their nasal passages
right.
or their mouths so they're not suffocating. That would be bad if it gets
right.
suffocated
yeah,
at the, you know, by cheese.
All right.
Death
with,
by cheese.
Death by cheese. All right. With all the talk that you and I have done over the past two shows about Michael Jackson, I forgot to tell you something else that I saw over the weekend. Oh, one other quick Michael Jackson thing that totally escaped me until yesterday when I was watching the show. He had this love of Disney World.
Yeah.
Right? He had this incredible love. He would go there all the time, and he made the Neverland Ranch look a lot like Disneyland.
It
there
looks
were
like the train station,
yeah.
kind of,
yeah,
doesn't it?
By design.
Okay, because
yeah.
I thought that was just coincidence
no.
last night.
And did that clock work? Because I noticed different times when they showed the clock, the hands were in different places. Which is the basis? That's the basis of the whole documentary.
I think that's what I thought. Did you just set yourself up?
No,
because that was pretty good.
No, I was just thinking.
But
about
too soon.
All right. So, So he had this weird love of all of Disney, right?
Well, he was, you know, Peter Pan.
Right.
He
right.
never grew up.
Right. 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 So then I forgot until yesterday when I was watching part two of the documentary. There was a time where my family was at Epcot Center, and my brother and I were in one of the shows at Epcot Center, and when we left. He was walking by with this huge entourage with all these bodyguards and a bunch of kids, but it was Disney. Because as we're leaving, we see this giant block of people all moving together like as though it was one unit. And my brother goes, what could that be? What's going on? And we thought, you know, because it's Disney, it's probably one of the more popular Disney characters and everybody
right.
wants to get there. And my brother goes, that's Michael Jackson. And I go, no, it's not. And then as we got closer...
You could
it was
him.
Michael Jackson, and my brother went to shake his hand and touched like the side of his hand to do a handshake, but he was hurrying away.
What year was this?
I was still in college, so I'm going to say about 1983.
Oh, okay. Because I went to...
82 or 83.
When did Epcot open?
Right around then. Epcot was really new at the time.
Because I
were you there at the same time?
I feel like there was something going on like that.
With you there?
Yes. But I went...
But it was, there was like, it was unmistakable because there was such a mad yes. rush of people in a place where weird things happen. Right. I mean, it's Disney, so at any given moment there's a fireworks show or something's going on somewhere.
You know, and they do take VIPs in and out back doors and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
because
yeah.
we were once waiting in line and we saw Donny Osmond and he was going in like a side door.
Oh,
with some, I didn't see that. Because they have some like special VIP people that take right. people in and out.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Know. Yeah.
You sometimes see people going in those side doors, but we did see Donnie.
Now, my brother thought, because there was
as good
as a little
Michael Jackson.
No, it was the luck of the draw, Ken. we didn't risk it. All right, so my brother thought that because one of the kids that was near him, nearest to him, looked like Emmanuel Lewis, TV's Webster.
Yeah.
But I don't remember them being friends. Were they? Was that one of his friends?
Yeah.
Emmanuel Lewis,
yes.
was it?
I'm pretty sure. Is he still with us?
You got a two for this.
Yeah,
Emmanuel
he's still alive.
Lewis? Oh, yeah.
Gary Coleman's no longer with us.
Yeah, I know
Emmanuel
that.
Emmanuel Lewis is still around.
But, yeah, I thought they... I don't know if he was one of his boys, you know, because he had, like, a flavor of the month, Michael Jackson did.
Yeah.
But I could swear they were hanging out together. And why isn't anyone talking to him?
That's a good question.
Because I know that Corey Feldman today opened up about, you know, he's
very upset about this documentary.
And he's raging on, you know, how could the parents let that happen, which I got to be honest with you, I was watching that too. And did you notice that these two victims, James and Wade, look a lot alike when they were kids? They had kind of almost the same look.
Yeah.
Until Wade got a perm, that changed things a little. But prior to
There's
the perm, they kind of looked, they looked like they could have been brothers to me.
Right.
But Corey Feldman is saying, you know, there's no way. Macaulay Culkin said he was never abused or molested at all. And I could have sworn he went through like a big Emmanuel Lewis phase too, and I wonder why he is absent from.
There's little to no talk of him being involved in any of this.
Although, do you want to get involved?
I can think of reasons you would, and I can think of reasons you wouldn't. I'm sure it's very personal to whoever may or may not have been involved as to how much they want to comment on this. The interesting one is that Martin Bashir, they went to him to try to get some kind of either criticism or comment about it, and he didn't want to talk about it. Which is strange because he kind of catapulted to stardom because of his interview with Michael Jackson.
He's the one who really got the ball rolling on it.
Yeah.
I mean, as I was falling asleep last night, Jim was watching something on our new king size bed. So it's great. I don't even know he's in the bed anymore. I don't know how we slept in a queen size bed before.
Hmm.
Really, it's just there's not enough room.
No,
you know,
not. You need it.
So I kind of saw this little glow going at the side of his bed about, and he was watching the Martin Bashir thing last night too. He just was trying to compare and contrast what the victims were saying. I didn't get a chance to ask him this morning.
I wonder how,
because
I saw it when it was first on, but I don't remember most of it.
Because I totally remember when that thing was on, that Martin Bashir thing was on. You're right. That's when I ever heard of him, really.
Yeah, he was more popular, I think, overseas until the Michael Jackson interview, and then all of a sudden people knew him here. Now, was it the Martin Bashir interview? I can't remember where I saw this, but there was a time, and they talked about this yesterday, where Michael lived in Las Vegas. And then they showed Michael on a shopping spree where he would go to various shops, like in Caesar's Palace, they have this giant shopping center.
That was on the Martin Bashir one, where he was just picking out weird, crazy things.
Artwork.
Yeah,
like
yes,
it would be
signs.
A statue of a guy who had, you know, the head of a squirrel and the body. So he would just pick stuff out, and they would load it up and just ship it to his house. That was on that special, right?
Yes,
because there was one shop in particular that I used to shop at in Las Vegas.
What'd you buy there?
I couldn't afford anything in there. I would just go there and look around and just go, who can buy this stuff? And then the answer was Michael Jackson can come in and buy that stuff.
And who would want to buy some of that stuff?
Well, because he was Michael Jackson and he was so quirky, remember they established he had this thing for mannequins where he would get a hotel room and just buy a bunch of mannequins and put them all around the hotel room as if to simulate having a party all the time because there was shapes of humans all around you.
He was a
weird,
quirky, eccentric,
quirky. Yes,
weird, lonely person.
Yeah.
And again, I give Oprah a lot of credit of just really explaining things to. I am so naive when it comes to child abuse. I really yeah. am. I thank God don't know anyone or that I'm aware of in our family.
Yeah.
But Oprah just really opened. I mean, she even said at some point, it's like the victim has trouble because what's going on actually feels good. So then right. the kid is torn between, you know, I love this person. I'm doing something that people in love do. It feels good. What's the problem? And then as they become an adult, just the guilt of like enjoying it, the guilt of doing it, the guilt of lying.
Right.
I mean, she really, she did such an amazing job. And she did ask him, if Michael Jackson was still alive, would you have been able to come forward with this? And the director, what's his name?
Oh.
John Reed.
I wrote it down.
Yeah, you said it earlier.
Hold on a second, I'll find it.
So I haven't watched it yet. Is Oprah in the documentary or something?
No, this is a Q&A after.
It's Dan Reed.
Dan Reed. Yeah. Oprah said, it was a great question. It was like, would this have happened if Michael was still alive? And Dan Reed right away said, I would still make this documentary. It wasn't going to stop me. It's not exactly all about Michael Jackson. It's about that this is going on. And then Oprah looked at both James and Wade, and I couldn't recall what their answer was. Like, would they have come forward if Michael was still alive? And so I had Jim watch it this morning and report back to me, and he said it just ended. After the director said, yes, I would have still gone through and made this movie, but neither of the victims answered. And then there was an edit, and Oprah said, do you forgive him? And they said, we're in the process of that, just like with their mothers. That's right. How I knew it was real, because it's like they just have this terrible, like they feel like, but they feel like their mom should have protected them, but then... It's just a catch-22 because they were putting up a fight to say, come on, Mom, can I just go do this?
Right.
It's Michael Jackson.
It just really ripped these two families apart and God knows how many other families.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable.
In regards to his, let's say, quirkiness. Quirkiness doesn't quite sell.
Eccentricities.
To the 1,000th degree. I kept thinking about, a couple years ago, I read Steve Martin's book called Born Standing Up, and he talks about those years where he was the most popular stand-up comic anywhere. He was like, he was a stand-up comic who was the first stand-up comic who was a rock star. He was selling out venues that were only usually rock star venues, not stand-up comedy venues, and he was miserable through all of it. And you would think, from
best
watching him,
your life.
How could you not enjoy this? You were famous and rich, and you could have anything you wanted. You were making movies. You were making TV shows. And he hated it, and he kind of talks about how he didn't have any peers, that there were other guys that were doing stand-up, but nobody was at that level. And that's what they used to say about Johnny Carson to some extent. Now there's a bunch of talk show hosts, but back then it was kind of just Johnny Carson, and he didn't have any peers. He was very awkward around people. He could be on TV in front of thousands and thousands of people, but if you put him in a room with four or five people, he was uncomfortable and fidgety. And I always think you could probably say that about most presidents of the United States. It's a very small group. So it's got to be difficult. I'm not backing anything that...
No, I know what you're saying, though.
It's got to be so difficult to not have anybody that is, like, in your peer group...
Right.
That you don't know how to handle life because there's nobody to discuss things with.
I 100% agree, and I'm not making excuses because, you know, I feel sorry for the victims, and Michael Jackson had an illness. I mean, normal people don't act like that.
Right.
But the fact that he was hanging out at one of these kids' houses and the mom had to come pick him up is very peculiar in itself, but then it's thinking, here's Michael Jackson that can do whatever he wants. He can, you know, call anyone to come over and amuse him or just hang out.
Yeah.
And he wants to go to this small house in Simi Valley just because he wanted to feel it part of the family.
Yeah.
It's a really weird, strange thing.
Well, and you know, all that has to go back to his own childhood.
Without a doubt.
He didn't have a childhood, really.
He didn't. And I think, I don't know if the documentary gets into everything with his father, but I know there was
nothing.
A lot of issues with
like
him
honestly
and
his, nothing which is
and
strange.
That it is strange because that would explain a lot of things,
but they I feel this documentarian would have felt like that was giving Michael an excuse
maybe
And, you know.
No, there is no excuse, but it would explain.
Explains things,
right.
Yes.
You get to the bottom of why people do what they do. I mean, just because, you know, you want to understand why a serial killer is a serial killer.
Right. We have to stop.
Although I have to tell you, Michael Jackson had that show at Epcot, Captain EO.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I remember 3D movie.
Seeing that. That was cool.
And Bill, Michael Jackson took Emmanuel Lewis to the Grammys one year. So they did have a little hanging out session. Yeah. So why is no one talking to him?
I don't know.
Let's try. Jasmine, get Emmanuel Lewis
Emmanuel Lewis tomorrow. Yeah? All right. Done. So let it be written. So let it be done. Kim, thanks for hanging out. We'll take a quick break and then close things off. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, we're all just talking and having a good time.
That's what Fat Tuesday is, Wendy.
I'm big boned.
No, it's Fat Tuesday. It's not Big Bone Tuesday, it's Fat Tuesday. Hey, everybody, thank you for listening. Did you enjoy yourselves?
I did. I had a good time today.
Yeah.
Did you?
This was fun, yeah.
I did.
It was a nice time.
A lot of serious topics, but...
When David Plyer comes by, you know that David Plyer's there.
All right, let's go.
That's it for today, everybody. Have a happy and safe Fat Tuesday, and we'll be back tomorrow. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.